Second hour at Aaron Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We say hello and good morning to Alan Bell. It's been a while since we've talked to him. Too long from Sportsline. Alan, how you doing?
What's up, bud? You doing all right?
Yeah, how about you?
Man, doing okay, making it.
Making it. Right now the NFL is making it. Let's start there. One, we had questions. You know, can they pull this off? NHL, the NBA, they have their bubble situation. You know, they've got their hub cities, and it's worked. Can it work outside the bubble? Baseball's had their problems, and you wonder if football could pull it off. Well, you had this story of the false positive 77 over the weekend, false positive test. And then since then, the NFL's come out and said, hey, we've done all these tests, which is a lot of tests on these players over, what, the last couple of weeks? And they're coming away with data that I, to be honest, pleasantly surprised and blown away that it seems like right now it is working and it is contained in the NFL. Like, it's working. Like, it's almost like they're in a bubble.
Yeah, I know. It is working, you know, and I'm with you. You know, I thought it would be pretty good. I didn't think it would be that good, right? Yeah, you know, in terms of the false positives and everything that came out of that lab, let me say, obviously not good. It's not something that you want. However, football in life, in everything, when we're going back to offices, like, there are going to be problems, right? Like, everybody's going to deal with something. So, you know, life is nothing but dealing with problems, figuring out how to get better from it, and not, you know, kind of having to deal with it again like you learn from it. So with the NFL, I'm glad that it happened at training camp. I know that they are too. It would have been a disaster if this happened, you know, 2 weeks from now, you know, in week one. But it's good. Get all the problems out of the way now. Let's deal with all of it so that when the season gets here, you know, that there's nothing new that you know, that the NFL and teams haven't dealt with before. So I'm glad that it happened now. They can figure out a plan for, you know, how to deal with it quicker if this thing were to happen, you know, during the regular season. And again, you know, we're kind of in the danger zone now, you know, in terms of training camp, because once the season gets here, I mean, players are pretty regimented. Like, you know, once you get in that week-to-week game schedule, you know, you've got practices, players go home, you know, it's going to be – it's not a bubble, but it's going to be pretty much that. So I think if we could get to the regular season, if we can get to week one, we've got a heck of a chance of making this thing. Like, I think NFL players are going to deal with this very well.
Well, I think the thing that concerned me, and you're right about the false positive, like, things are going to happen.
Yeah.
What concerned me, and maybe this is a good thing that it happened when it did, because what if this would have happened to a team or teams on, you know, on Saturday, you know, right before Sunday's game, and all of a sudden they got all these slew of players that weren't able to give it a go, which truly affected the game and that team, and then you come out and find out it was a false positive. You know, can you imagine the uproar of that? So I do wonder if maybe the timing of this could actually be a good thing, because it may allow them to figure things out now when it didn't really matter, as opposed to, like you said, 2 weeks from now or 3 weeks from now when they're trying to play a regular season.
Yeah, exactly. I'm with you. I agree with that completely. I mean, you know, there are going to be issues. Let's deal with it as quick and as soon as possible. And now, you know, the NFL, I guarantee what they're going to do is they're going to look at this lab and they're going to say, hey, look, we get it. Like, it's science. You know, we've only been using these tests for, what, 5 months? You know, it's not like it's, you know, something that we've been dealing with for 30 years, right? Like, there are going to be issues. But how do we kind of get a little deduplication in terms of let's figure out a backup plan, right? Is there another lab that we can send these tests to at the same time so that, you know, we could say, okay, you know, it looks to be that there's an issue with your lab's testing with this batch. We're going to send it to this other group. Boom, we've got it finished in 1 hour. Like, we're good to go. Problem solved. So, I mean, that's what it's all about. So I guarantee you the NFL is figuring out every single little thing on how to deal with this. And, you know, we might have something pop up today, tomorrow. We don't know. But again, if we can get it done and go through it in training camp, and we can all learn together, it's going to do nothing but help everyone in the process.
I've been with CBS Sportsline for, gosh, I don't know, as long as they've been doing fantasy sports, I've had them run my leagues, and I guess it's been, geez, probably 15 years at least.
Well, we appreciate that.
Yeah, and so I had my first draft, one of many, this past weekend. Yeah. And I just want to run a couple of things by you and just get your opinion. Clyde Edwards-Helaire went seventh overall in the first round. I know. This is a PPR league. I just want to know, obviously there's huge expectations. If you look at all the mock drafts, he's predicted to go very high. I thought seventh was a little too rich for my blood. But what do you make of him, the kid out of LSU in Kansas City? How much of an impact can he truly have in that Chiefs offense?
Well, excuse me, he could certainly have an impact, and he's going to get all the carries and opportunities that he wants. You know,
but seventh overall impact? That's what I want to know.
It's brutal, right? Because here are two things that I'm looking at that would give me a pause on drafting him that high.
Okay.
First off, being a rookie in the NFL this year is going to just be more difficult than any year rookies have really ever dealt with, you know, barring, you know, the lockout or anything like that. I mean, they just have, you know, your first snap is going to be in a real game.
Agreed.
Right? So running back, running back, it might not be as big as, say, Joe Burrow at quarterback. But still, I mean, you know, you haven't been hit. You haven't been, you know, taking those carries. It's just going to be a little difficult. And two, you know, we talked about this. I look at the Chiefs offense very similar to how I look at the Titans offense. I know that they're not the same, but I think they're both going to deal, or at least individual players could deal with the same issues this year. And that being, you have playmakers everywhere, and there's only one ball, right? So, I mean, if you're looking at the Chiefs, and yeah, I mean, he could be a stud, but again, you're going to have to split quote unquote carries and passes with Tyreek Hill, with Mecole Hardman, with Travis Kelce, with Patrick Mahomes doing his own thing. Like, there are so many opportunities for everyone on that team to eat that he could have a good year. But you know, it's not going to put up the exact same numbers that you could get out of someone else, you know, that high. That's why I look at, you know, when we talk about, you know, any Titans players regressing, you know, this year. Well, Derrick Henry could have a monster year, but not put up the numbers that he did last year. But that means that A.J. Brown had an even bigger year. Jonnu Smith had an even bigger year. And you still get the same results in terms of wins, but there's just only one ball to go around. So, you know, we'll see about that. I mean, that's a high pick for that kid. But let me say, he's going to be good, and he's going to be good on a very great team.
Okay. So you see all these mocks that Sportsline is pumping out. You got all your fantasy football experts over there.
Yep.
I'm going to ask you, Alan Bell, who is somebody, and you take it however you want. I'm not going to be specific with a position, but you tell us in our audience, who's somebody you're really high on and who's somebody that you think maybe other people are really high on, but you are not. You think this could be, in other words, bust alert. How would you answer?
Yeah.
I know I'm putting you on the spot, but how would you answer?
No. I love it. First off, somebody that I'm very high on is Dak Prescott. I think Dak Prescott and the Cowboys offense, I think Dak Prescott is going to have a monster season. I think that their offense is going to be versatile. It's going to be multiple. He's going to have opportunities all over the board because I think Ezekiel Elliott is going to have a monster year as well. So I would look at Dak Prescott in terms of quarterbacks. I think you can get him at a great value. And Sportsline, we've got him ranked as our third best quarterback in the NFL in terms of fantasy, right? Like, he's just going to put up monster numbers because, again, you've got, you know, guys like Amari Cooper, you've got, you know, CeeDee Lamb coming in. And Ezekiel Elliott catching passes out of the backfield too, right? So I think Dak's somebody that I'm really high on. Somebody that everyone's high on that I'm not, it's probably Julio Jones. And again, understand, I do think that he's the best overall wide receiver in the NFL. However, I don't believe in the Falcons at all. Like, I don't believe in what they're doing. Their offense, it should be much better than it is. And I can see them trying to get a little fancy and a little cute, knowing that their head coach and GM basically have their necks on the guillotine this year, and it blowing up in their face. So, I mean, Julio Jones, you know, again, there's nothing against him personally. It's just the situation of the team that he's on.
I'm looking at the draft board from this past week, and ironically, I took the second quarterback. Mahomes went first. That was the first quarterback taken. I took Lamar Jackson, and the next quarterback to go off the board was Dak Prescott, but it was not until I think it looks like about the sixth round.
Wow.
Fifth, sixth round.
That's incredible value. And I'll give you one more. If you look in terms of, like, the NFL MVP, the award, there's a trend forming. The last two NFL MVPs have been second-year quarterbacks in Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. So if that trend continues, Kyler Murray might be your guy. He might have a monster season as well.
Okay. Sean Salisbury would approve of that, wouldn't he, guys, from our conversations with Sean Salisbury. He loves Kyler Murray.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think Kyler Murray – I mean, the Cardinals were better than people thought last year, and I think they're going to continue to get better.
Talking to Alan Bell from CBS Sportsline. And, Alan, I noticed you go on – following you on Twitter, you go on some shows in Vegas some – What is this going to be like? This is certainly not what they envisioned when they had their first year as an NFL franchise with the new stadium and everything, and I don't know what they're doing fan-wise and everything, but just the way you go about it, it's got to be thrilling for those guys out there to have a team, and I do wonder what the Raiders are going to look like this year.
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, and, you know, I hate it for their team and their fan base that, you know, they don't get to kind of celebrate that first year altogether. Because it would just be awesome, you know, with that new stadium, the team out there. They're missing a really big branding opportunity and, honestly, sell a ton of merch as well. But, you know, with the Raiders, I think that they're going to be better than people think that they are. I mean, you look at last year. You remember last year, like week 15, even week 16, when we were looking at the playoff picture, you know, the Titans going to, you know, wrap up that that wild card spot. The Raiders were right there. And they, you know, quite frankly, nobody really thought that they were that good of a team, but they kind of flew under the radar. It's going to be a big season for Derek Carr, obviously, but he's got the pieces out there to do it. Losing Williams, their wide receiver, to a torn labrum, that certainly hurts, but you add in Henry Ruggs, you've got Josh Jacobs, you know, running the ball. They get Jonathan Abram back on the defensive side. And they've got young stars everywhere, so I think the Raiders are going to be pretty good, but it's all going to come down to Derek Carr. And if he can rise up to it, that's a playoff team. If he doesn't, they're looking for a new quarterback next year.
What did you make of the Earl Thomas saga? I guess I wasn't paying that close of attention, but apparently there was a long track record of little instances that led up to the last one that was sort of the last straw, and I wonder what happens to him now.
So, you know, Willie, you would know better than anybody else, right? Like, one fight in a practice, you know, that doesn't resonate a player getting kicked off a team and at the cost of $10 million. There had to be more. But, you know, when it reaches a point where the locker room is policing itself and saying, you know what, we don't care. Get this guy out of here. Like, there had to be just multiple situations going on with this guy. And it seems like ever since that incident when he was being carted off in Seattle, you know, where he kind of gave the one-finger salute to Pete Carroll, Earl Thomas has been a different guy. It's just been negative headlines about him. And if you can't get along in the Ravens locker room and that, you know, organization, that's one of the most player-friendly organizations there are, Seattle as well. So now you look at it and say, okay, if I'm a Cowboys or I'm a 49ers, you know, is this guy worth it? Because he wasn't regular Earl Thomas last year. He benefited a lot from being on a great defensive team. You know, he's going to have to, if you're going to sign him, he's going to be extremely cheap. And you're going to have players that, you know, that can control them. I don't know if Dallas necessarily does. I think the 49ers with Richard Sherman, I think Sherman could be a big part of that, of just putting his arm around him and say, hey, I've got this guy. But the worry that you have is that he's this year's Antonio Brown, and he's going to come in, play one, two games, get mad about something, and blow up your locker room and blow up your Super Bowl chances. So, I just don't know if I'm willing to take that chance this year. I mean, he's a good player. But he's going to have to – it would have to be on a league minimum type situation. I'm not paying him any money at all, because when you hire a guy like that, you have to be prepared to fire a guy like that.
We marveled at this yesterday, getting back to sort of the fantasy theme as people get back into their fantasy mode here. Derrick Henry, his entire career pretty much, has been at best, even last year, you know, you could probably get him in the fourth or fifth round because you didn't know exactly – you know, how many times he would touch it. Was he the main man? In a PPR league, Darren was talking about this yesterday, in a PPR league where, you know, he's probably not going to catch a lot of footballs, but he is now the main man. What does that do to his draft stock? Where is he falling in your mind?
Yeah, in a PPR league, it's going to be tough because you're right. He's not catching that many passes at all. But if you're in a standard league, I mean, exactly what you just said, you're going to get Derrick Henry at tremendous value because, yeah, I mean, you know, after last year, I think nationally, you know, people realize how good this guy is. But Titans fans and Alabama fans and SEC fans have seen this you know, Derrick Henry is as consistent as it gets. You know, this guy is really, you know, the best running back in the NFL. I know people throw Saquon Barkley out there and guys like that, but you know what? That's all on projection. Derrick Henry's doing it, right? Like, Saquon Barkley's not doing it yet. So, yeah, I mean, you're going to get him at good value. And, again, you know, it's weird that, you know, in the NFL we don't value running backs, you know, in terms of, you know, the actual game per se. But in fantasy, running backs can make you a ton of points and a ton of money. They can rack up, and especially with him in the red zone, you know, he could be a monster, plus knock, you know, big runs out as well in the fourth quarter. So, yeah, I mean, I would be all over it. If you can get him anywhere pretty much beyond the second round, you're going to get a steal for your team because he's going to get the touches no matter what. I mean, he's going to get his numbers.
Alan Bell is with us from Sportsline. So with the news from the Browns that Grant Delpit is out with a torn Achilles, out for the year, the rookie, I've seen a few people speculating that the Browns should go after Logan Ryan. Could you see Logan Ryan being a fit in Cleveland?
Yeah, you know, I could see him going to Cleveland. I could see him going to Baltimore. You know, it would have to be, you know, on a pretty cheap deal in terms of money. But, you know, him going to Baltimore would be the most Ravens move ever for them to do it. But he would fit well in that Browns offense. And to be honest with you, for everything that team has dealt with, especially last year, you know, Logan Ryan is a good guy. He's a leader. You know, that's somebody that you want in your locker room. So even though, you know, he would, you know, be changing positions, it's something that he could certainly do, and he would bring a positive to that Browns locker room. But knowing the Browns, they'll be the ones to go get Earl Thomas and then just blow this thing up, excuse me, and then it just becomes a disaster. Him and Odell are fighting. But, yeah, I mean, Logan Ryan would be a perfect fit in any locker room. He's just a good guy.
All right, now we've talked football and those things and the, you know, the news of the day. I want to talk some odds with you because, you know, I know you're big into the odds, and I was reading through some of the win totals and predictions that you all have done there at Sportsline. According to Sportsline, there are four teams that you have above 10 wins. So the 49ers and the Saints at 10.5. The Ravens and the Chiefs at 11.5. Of those four teams, Alan, which would you say has the best chance of not getting to the win totals that you guys have given them?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know what? I'm going to say the Saints, and the reason being is this. I think their schedule is difficult. I think the NFC is difficult. And to be honest with you, you know, they've got talent everywhere. But just compared to the other three teams, I could see it being just tougher for them to get there than the others, you know, because it's so predicated on their offense. And I'm not saying their defense is bad, but it's just so predicated on putting up 30-plus points a game. To where you look at the 49ers, I mean, they could beat you up physically, defensively, offensively for sure. We know that. And then the Ravens, I mean, they don't even leave the Eastern time zone after week two. So their schedule works out very favorably, and I think we all think the Chiefs are going to be monsters this year again. So, yeah, I'm going to say the Saints just because comparatively to those other three teams. But it doesn't mean I'm down on them, but I think that they've got the hardest road out of those four.
The next group you guys have, the Cowboys, the Eagles, the Seahawks, the Bucks, and the Patriots are all at 9.5. What team out of that group could you see being above that group, being above that cut line?
Yeah, which teams did you say again? Cowboys who?
Cowboys, Eagles, Seahawks, Bucks, and Patriots are all at 9.5.
Yeah, that's a good question. I can see the Cowboys. I think the Cowboys are going to be a very good team, as we talked about. I think offensively, I think defensively, even though it hurt to lose Gerald McCoy, it's not like the whole defense was built around him. They've still got a little bit of work to do. If they can add Earl Thomas in the secondary and he's a normal functioning team, so yeah. I would give it to the Cowboys. I just think that they're going to be so hungry, and especially with a new head coach, with Mike McCarthy. We look at what he did when he first came into Green Bay. You know, I think he went 21-11 his first 2 years. I mean, the guy has won before, excuse me, and he's certainly motivated because he's not happy about the way that it ended with the Packers. So, yeah, I'm going to go with the Cowboys on that one.
Did it surprise you that the odds makers looked at the Titans and said 8.5, that they're still right around that 8 or 9 win threshold that they've been at for it seems like eternity?
No, it didn't, just because you can count on that. It's like death taxes and then an 8.5, 9-win season, you know, projection for the Titans. It totally made sense. And if I was Vegas, I'd put it there as well, because you're wanting to, you know, attract betting. If you put it at, a, you know, 9.5, 10 wins, you know, it might push that number down, because so many people would bet the under. So it's a good play to kind of get 50-50 on both sides. I think the Titans will be better than that. I think we all think that. But again, you know, that was a smart play by Vegas. Just put it there, because nationally, again, you know, the people outside of Tennessee might not understand how good this team is compared to people in Tennessee.
I view a team like Carolina that you guys have at 5.5. I view them as a potential sleeper this year in the league. Do you agree with that? And what team would be your sleeper?
Who did you say, Carolina?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, the worry for me is that, you know, I just don't know how they're going to put this all together. We saw they did the draft. They took all defensive players. They're in a tough division where, you know, it's going to be tough to grab wins out of there. But, again, if we see out of Teddy Bridgewater what we did last year, you know, this team could be good. And I'm excited about Matt Rhule and Joe Brady in terms of the head coach and the offensive, you know, kind of guru system. I'm with you. I'm not necessarily down on them at all. They could have a better year. Again, you know, I look at probably the Arizona Cardinals. You know, we've got them around 6.5, 6.9. I think that they do take another step up. I like their team. They're young. They're athletic. They still have guys like Larry Fitzgerald, to where even if he isn't putting up monster numbers on the field, he's exactly what you want as a leader, as keeping this team focused. You add DeAndre Hopkins out there. I'm big on them. I really do think the Cardinals could be better. The tough part for them is that they're in a brutal, brutal division out there in the NFC West, where it's going to be very, very difficult to grab wins. But, yeah, I would probably list them as mine.
Good stuff as always, Alan. Appreciate the visit. Continue
man,
to be safe. We'll talk to you soon, man.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me on.
Alan Bell, Sportsline, that's where you can find his work. Good stuff. We'll come back. By the way, there's been a big trade in the NHL between Pittsburgh and Toronto. We'll tell you about that. Also news concerning the Titans' schedule with maybe some of their opponents. We'll talk about that as well. And get into some fantasy stuff. All that on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Don't forget, you can listen to us anywhere in the world. All you have to do is stream 102.5 The Game. Download the Game Nashville app. That's one free and easy way to go about it. Enable your Alexa skill or Google Home if you've got that set up in your home or your office place, like a lot of you do. I do as well. Ask it to play 102.5 The Game, or you can always just live stream from our website, which is thegamenashville.com. Before we get into some fantasy stuff and some news surrounding the Titans, there has been a trade with the Penguins and the Leafs. Toronto is getting a first-round pick from Pittsburgh. This year's draft, 15th overall, and they are sending Pontus Aberg to Pittsburgh. How about that, huh? Pontus Aberg to Pittsburgh. And Toronto is going to get a first-round pick. Of course, there's other players involved, too, but I just wanted to put that out there. That Toronto's getting a first-round pick, and Pontus Aberg is a part of the deal. But there's a lot more involved.
So Pontus Aberg has been with the Predators, mm-hmm. the Oilers,
mm-hmm.
the
Sharks.
Ducks.
The Ducks.
Ducks.
The Wild.
Wild.
Like I said, the Wild.
The Leafs,
and now the Penguins.
Yes,
now that is a well-traveled player.
Still chugging along enough to be impactful to still be getting traded traded. Right?
Somebody sees something.
Kapanen is a part of the deal to Pittsburgh.
He's the key guy.
Yeah.
Kasperi Kapanen is a really good. I guess I would call him a role player, but he's a former first round pick that on that team, he's just not going to play top six very much. But he's a good player. But he's I haven't looked at specifics on his contract, but I'm guessing he's getting to the age where you've got to give him a raise or sign him. And this is the problem when you're the Maple Leafs and you have so much money invested in your top three or four players. It takes up so much room on your cap. You just don't have room for those secondary guys like Kapanen.
Yeah, they didn't save a ton of money in this trade because they also got Evan Rodriguez in return. But
yeah, it's, from everything I'm reading, it doesn't even look like they'll even keep him.
Yeah. Yeah, right now they have saved $1.2 million with this trade.
They got, is it Hallander? Philip Hallander? I think that was another key guy that Toronto wanted. But from everything I've read, it doesn't even look like they're going to keep Rodriguez.
But I want to look up the key intriguing guy is Kaspinen to me, and we're looking at two teams that have superstar players and therefore a lot of money tied up in those guys, and so I wonder what the plans are for Pittsburgh with Kapanen. Yeah, right? Kapanen, do they want to sign him? I mean, if you're giving up a first round pick, you would think you want Kapanen to be there.
Oh yeah,
for a while.
There's no doubt. It's not for Aberg. So, yeah.
Kapanen's not for Aberg.
And you're keeping him. Yeah, you're not giving up this year's first-round pick, 15th, which, by the way, is high for Pittsburgh, right?
Right.
With all their success that they've had. So, a high first-round pick by their standards, there's no doubt you're keeping this guy around. You obviously see a future.
And they got a prospect, too.
And I'm looking at Kaspinen. This makes more sense now because Kaspinen – I didn't realize this, but he is under contract at 3.2 against the cap for the next 2 years.
Oh.
So, and then he's a restricted free agent after that. So if you want him long term, if he keeps playing the way he is, it's going to probably cost you a little bit more by that time. But you have control of him for two more years. So there's the value. But if you're Toronto, 3.2 is a little expensive for the role that he plays. So I can see it from both sides.
Yeah, and they got another prospect that I was just looking at his stats, Jesper Lindgren. He hadn't done that much in the AHL, so
yeah, I didn't know anything about the other guys. There's like a Warsofsky went to Toronto. I don't know anything about him. Lindgren I didn't know anything about, so I figure they're just kind of throw in people.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Interesting trade.
Yep. Yeah.
Interesting trade.
Just wanted to pass that along. And, Cap Friendly put it out there that does clear up some cap space, a little over $3 million for Toronto. I mentioned the Titans schedule before we get into some fantasy stuff. The way I view it is this can only be a good thing. I mean, there's no other way you can look at it. And I realize if it was at a 20% clip or whatever, it wouldn't be the same. But when you think about the Titans' first two road games, at Denver and at Minnesota in the month of September, those are not easy places to play. Under a normal schedule, those are incredibly tough environments. And the Titans, I get it. It wasn't going to be a full house no matter what. It wasn't even going to be half of the stadium no matter what. But they are getting the luxury of Denver announcing there's going to be no fans in the stands for their contest on Monday Night Football. And now Minnesota has come out and said their first two home games, which that second game, that game against the Titans, is their second home game. They are not going to have fans at Minnesota. So they're not going to have fans in the stands for that Vikings game. So we know the first three games the Titans play, because the Jags are the home game sandwiched in between, are all going to be games with no fans, which will be weird for the players.
Yeah. Do you remember, I think Willie was out, but you and I had this discussion and we made predictions with the Titans of what the first 2 weeks would look like. And I think you said you thought Denver would have fans and then the Titans wouldn't. I can't remember. Do you remember exactly what you said? I know I said that neither would have fans. So I'm right there. But I think that you're just going to see this across the board. And I'm glad that it's a week-to-week thing that you're not
going to see what across the board?
That you're going to see a lot of teams, especially early on, not have fans.
Yeah, but you're not going to see it across the board because teams have already come out and said, we're going to attempt to have fans in the stands.
Right.
like the Dolphins. That's fair.
Yeah, but I just, you know, I'm curious to see how far out that some of these teams plan, like that aren't having fans right now. Are you going to say, yeah, we're this is how it's going to be until week four, and then we'll reevaluate, or are they literally just going to release a little bit at a time? Because I know you do have to have some time to buy tickets and make plans and decide how many fans you're going to have, but first 3 weeks for the Titans, it's they're going to have, I guess, piped-in crowd noise. Is that what they're going
to
do?
It's going to take some getting used to. I'm curious particularly what the stadiums will do to create the ambiance and the environment. How much noise will there be? How much pumped-in crowd noise? How much do you play songs between, you know, pumped-up music between snaps? These are all things that I'm hoping the wheels are turning. I'm guessing they are, because you want to create that. It'll take some getting used to the players. And here's something I hadn't thought of. But, guys, if there's no crowd, what does that do to the cat-and-mouse game of signals yelled out at the line of scrimmage, right? When the quarterback's yelling out stuff and the defense can hear everything he's saying even more clearly than you would when you have 50 or 60,000. Some people are really good at honing in on that anyway, even when there is a crowd. But when there's not a crowd, everybody can hear everything that's being said, right? So what does that do to the cat and mouse game at the line of scrimmage? I'm curious about that.
Yeah, I think it's a good question. Because it's obviously going to change that. I mean, you're going to have a lot of whispering. Like how are you going to do that? But to answer your question, the one thing that I took away from Friday's practice at the stadium, because they made it like a scrimmage, and so they had the PA announcer there doing the normal thing. You know, just whenever Ryan Tannehill came on the field, it's like a quarterback from Texas A&M, Ryan Tannehill. So they had that game element. They did pipe in crowd noise, and I noticed the levels changed. So I think they were kind of playing with that. They played music in between plays like you would normally see. So I believe that's probably what teams are going to do, similar to what we've seen in other sports. But they're going to try and make it as close to a game-like atmosphere as they possibly can.
I think they'll probably just, you know, they're paying attention to what the NHL and the NBA have been able to do and, try to duplicate it a little bit. I'm assuming for television purposes and for in the stadium. I mean, we're seeing what the NHL is doing in these bubbles. I mean, they're trying to duplicate a little bit of a feel of a home, you know, if you score a goal and what you would hear in that environment, but if you were at home. But look, it's still ultimately it's got to be incredibly weird, right? It's got to be strange for these guys to be. I mean, you the NBA, like you guys have been paying attention to this more than me. Willie, I know you've been taking in a lot of NBA. By the way, how about the Rockets, man? If they lose to Oklahoma City, holy cow. Holy cow. You bring in Russell Westbrook in the offseason and you go out to Oklahoma City? Really?
Yeah, I haven't watched that series much, but correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think Westbrook's even playing in this series, is he?
Well, I'm just saying you brought him in. Like he's not playing for the Thunder, and Billy Donovan's doing a heck of a job. Which, by the way, I guess the new focus for Philadelphia is they're going to go hot and heavy for Jay Wright. So that could be another college coach leaving the ranks. But when they get, you know, they get a big monster dunk or whatever, or you know, momentum back and forth, big play. I mean, you can hear them screaming through your television. It's pretty interesting because you obviously never get that feel with a crowd involved. But you can hear them. So it'll be strange no matter what. I just think this is a really nice break, and you know the Titans don't get the home crowd against Jacksonville, but. You know, to not have to go to Denver and Minnesota, to go to Denver, Minnesota, not have to deal with those fans, that fan base, I think is a real plus for the Titans.
It's got to be. It's got to be. And I want to see how the sound people in the NFL at the stadiums do with the challenge of creating that cadence, that rhythm. Like you said, Darren, like Luka Doncic, let's talk about that. Great shot that he hit. the sound that you get coming after it is not the normal sound you hear, right? You don't hear this explosion or the stunned silence that it would have if it was on the road when he hit that. It's kind of somewhere in between. They have noise and they have music and stuff, but it's not what it would be. I actually think that the NHL has done the best job with the reaction of the sound guy to what's happening in the game. I think it's brilliant what they've done. It's not perfect, but I think they do the best job of any of the sports of matching the sound with what's happening in the game. We'll see what it looks like for the NFL because it's a huge part of it, right? You want to hear some reaction. You don't want total silence or, like you said, Darren, only the people in the gym yelling and reacting to a shot, the magnitude that Luka's shot was the other day. I think it's a fascinating part of it. Like they need to give those guys a pay raise, those guys doing it, because the guys that are good at it, you want those guys in there every game.
Yep.
Well, and what's cool is to develop all this, they've gotten with EA Sports and the video game companies.
Yes.
And that's where they're getting the noise from. That's how they're doing this. They've created these soundboards that they can use, and that's how they get the reaction. Because, I mean, if you play Madden, for instance, I mean, it sounds like a normal NFL crowd, and they have developed that so much over the years to make it feel that way, that piping that in and using the reactions, and now you got to be on it, you got to pay attention, obviously, it makes it work. And I actually found this out. I've been a wrestling fan my whole life, but WWE has done this for years at a lot of live events. They'll pump in crowd noise, and so they've started doing that for their live events. They have the rings surrounded by video screens, and they have people on Zoom that, you know, to act as the audience. But it's been cool to see how they've used technology and how they've all gotten creative to make all this work.
Yep. We come back. We will wrap up the hour. By the way, Jeff Fisher coming up at high noon. So we'll have former Oilers/Titans head coach Jeff Fisher for a long time in this market. He will join us coming up at noon. A little fantasy news. We'll come back and talk a little fantasy to close out the hour. Because a lot of you are starting to have drafts or getting ready to have drafts. I just had one. And I've already got an injury to a player I drafted. Chargers wide receiver Mike Williams. So if you have him, you've already had a draft and you have him, not good news. Looks like he will be out, as they are saying, for a while with a shoulder injury. I don't know what "for a while" means, but Mike Williams, the receiver for the Chargers, out for a while, according to them, with a shoulder injury. We will come back. Come back and close the second hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I think Dak Prescott and the Cowboys offense, I think Dak Prescott is going to have a monster season. I think that their offense is going to be versatile. It's going to be multiple. He's going to have opportunities all over the board because I think Ezekiel Elliott is going to have a monster year as well. So I would look at Dak Prescott in terms of quarterbacks. I think you can get him at a great value. In Sportsline, we've got him ranked as our third best quarterback in the NFL in terms of fantasy, right? Like, he's just going to put up monster numbers because, again, you've got – you know, guys like Amari Cooper, you've got, CeeDee Lamb coming in. And Ezekiel Elliott catches passes out of the backfield too, right? So I think Dak's somebody that I'm really high on. Somebody that everyone's high on that I'm not, it's probably Julio Jones. And again, understand, I do think that he's the best overall wide receiver in the NFL. However, I don't believe in the Falcons at all. Like, I don't believe in what they're doing. Their offense, it should be much better than it is. And I can see them trying to get a little fancy and a little cute, knowing that their head coach and GM basically have their neck on the guillotine this year.
There you go. We were talking a little fantasy with Alan Bell. So I'm going to ask you guys, as we inch a little bit closer to some fantasy drafts, I'm sure there will be some going on, or a lot going on, starting this weekend. Who's somebody, I'll ask you the same question that I asked Alan Bell, take it however you like, whatever position. Somebody that you're really high on and somebody that you know a lot of people are high on, but you have your doubts about them this year. Who would like to start? Anybody?
Willie?
Okay. Nobody wants
to start. I'll start.
Start it up.
I'll start.
By the way, Julio Jones went 19th overall in the draft I was in last weekend, which for Julio Jones standards, right, that is falling. He is he is definitely going the wrong direction in fantasy football, at least through one draft that I was in. I mean, because he's been a pretty consistent first-round pick, right, in fantasy football. 19th overall in a PPR league, which is another thing. It's, you know, receivers. So, okay, what do you got?
So somebody I'm high on, and I know I think you said you took him with your first pick, but it is Alvin Kamara. I think Alvin Kamara is gonna do a lot of damage in fantasy football this year. I mean, you're looking for him to be, I guess, the catalyst, if you want to put it that way, for New Orleans, along with all the weapons that they have. I mean, Michael Thomas is certainly going to be a part of that as well. But I really, really like him. The one that I'm not so sold on, and I know this may shock you, but I don't know if Ezekiel Elliott's going to have the same kind of cachet in fantasy that he has in the past. I still think he's a good player. He's going to be important for the Cowboys. As a Cowboys fan, I hope that he has a good year. But, you know, I know a lot of places, I'm looking at Matthew Berry's rankings right now. They have him third. I don't know if he's still going to be that high. I think he's going to dip just because of the wear and tear of the league, and you have other players that are going to move up ahead of him.
Okay.
That may surprise you because of my fandom, but
I am a little bit, yeah, a little bit. I am not as high on Jordan Howard as a lot of people are. And I know high, you say, well, how high? I mean, I'm trying to look and see where he went. And I don't see exactly where he went in the draft I was just in. I'm not particularly high on him. I think he switched to teams. He's now, what, down in Miami? I don't think he keeps that job. Like, I don't think he is going to remain. If he ends up being the number one guy, I don't think he will keep it a long time or very long. I think probably there's a real shot Breida beats him out at some point. So I'm not particularly high on him. I'm not. Miles Sanders went 9th overall. Do you guys I'm not saying I'm not high on him. Is that a little high for Miles Sanders?
I don't know. I like him.
I like him
a lot
too. But are you pulling the trigger on him in the first round?
Willie, are we?
well, we're gonna have to do our homework on that one. I see a lot of mock drafts where he's not that high.
Yeah, I mean, Matthew has him 21st. In his rank. Now, granted, this is
so that's
standard.
More of a late second round. That's a standard league.
No, actually, this is PPR.
That's PPR. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's So they have him 21st in a PPR. I like him. I think he's a really solid player. And is going to continue to get better. But I don't know if I'm ready to pull the trigger and say he's my first round pick, like some people are.
Here's one that I will toss into the pool. You tell me, and Chase, you and I had him last year. Odell Beckham Jr., for him, had a bad year. 74 catches, 1,035 yards, and 4 touchdowns. Based on where we drafted him, what we wanted out of him, what we thought we could get out of him, nowhere close, right? You find out that he was playing hurt. The Browns obviously were a complete train wreck from any number of different directions. I have to believe that Baker Mayfield will be better. I have to believe they'll protect him better. The coaching, it can't be worse, right? So the scheme's got to be a little bit better. And if Beckham is at all healthy, I think there's a better chance that he bounces back and has more of the numbers that we've become accustomed to. You guys buy that? You guys buy a bounce back, or do you just not believe in the Browns, not believe in Beckham generally?
That's the big
thing. I've learned
not
to trust him anymore. I've given up drafting him. I've had him, and I've been burned, you know, in the last 2 years. So I've just kind of given up. I've punted on him.
It's hard for me to trust Cleveland.
Yeah.
Just
it's hard for me to trust Cleveland.
Cleveland
and him.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I am. It doesn't mean that he's not going to have a good year. I'm just saying I just had decided, you know, I'm really not interested unless it's just it's at a place in a draft where I just
right.
say I'd be crazy not to take him.
So here. So you're more of take a flyer if he's still sitting there below where he normally goes.
Yes.
Rather than jump out and get him because you're strongly in belief he's going to bounce back. Where did he go in your draft? I'm curious.
Fourth round.
That's not a bad place to grab him, I would say.
That's got
upside.
Mid to latter part of the fourth round. So let me pose a couple. Let me throw a couple quick hitters at you guys.
Okay.
Kelce and Kittle, no doubt one and two. Two best tight ends in the game. Who you got at one?
Kittle.
I'd go Kelce. If I had the choice, and they're both there, and I'm saying I'm taking my tight end, I go Kelce just because the nature of the offense.
Okay.
Kittle is such a weapon as a blocker that he can win you games where they don't throw the ball that much. They have such a great running game system. He's such a part of that. I just don't think they're going to pass it as much.
Okay.
Where do you fall on that, Darren? Where would you take?
I would have taken Kittle, but Kelce is going to go first in most drafts. He'll go first, Kittle will go second. I would take Kittle, but I don't disagree. Look, I've had Kelce many times, and he's fantastic. So you can't go wrong. I was just curious who you guys would take. Okay, Chris Godwin or Mike Evans?
Ooh, that is impossible to know because they – what is Brady – how does Brady use those guys? Now, this is what pops into my head. I'll take this one first. This is just a quick knee-jerk reaction. You throw this at me. Mike Evans is a down-the-field, make-the-play, throw it up there, I'll go get it. Does Brady – this is where the test is going to come to Brady. Does he still have the arm to get it down there to Mike Evans? I think Godwin is a little bit more of a match for Brady. I would say Godwin.
I'd actually agree with Willie on that. I'd probably go Godwin over Evans. I have this feeling based on, you know, things I've seen and all of that there's just going to be a connection there like he's had with Edelman and others in the past. So I think I go Godwin.
Okay. Godwin went first. I took him. I took Godwin and he went first. Evans went four picks later.
What round? Yeah. First round? Second round?
Second round. Late second round. Evans okay. went the beginning of the third round.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay.
Last one. Saquon Barkley or Christian McCaffrey? Which one are you taking number one?
Oh. How much better
That's
will the Giants be? How much better will the Giants be? Of course, these are both teams that are overhauling some things. I think McCaffrey is a sure bet. He's a sure bet. So I would lean that way. I would go McCaffrey.
McCaffrey plays for what team?
Carolina
Panthers and Teddy B. Give me McCaffrey.
Jace is buying stock big time. He is
buying a lot of stock right now
in the Panthers. A lot of stock.
All right, we will come back.
What did you, Darren, break the tie? I guess you're not breaking the tie. We both say McCaffrey. What did you say?
I think McCaffrey, yeah.
Yeah.
McCaffrey. It's not easy.
Debatable.
It's very debatable. By the way, Barkley and ours went first, which I didn't agree with. I'm like, really? You bet that high on the first pick and you took Barkley over McCaffrey. I thought that was interesting, but nonetheless, happened.
Give me one real quick. This is a quick yes or no or choice. Henry or Elliott?
What league?
No, not a PPR.
Standard
league. Ezekiel Elliott or Derrick Henry? Who are you picking first? You got a choice.
Ooh. probably Elliott.
Probably Henry.
Elliott. Slight lean to Elliott.
Slight lean to Henry.
You lean
That's
Henry?
A tough one. That's a tough one, though.
Ooh, I lean Henry.
Okay. That's tough.
And, of course, we would never have had that question thrown out in previous years. This is the first year you actually have that question.
Yep. All right, we'll come back. Jeff Fisher to start the third hour. That's next.